yesterday. I know Aaron and Susan are out of town, so if that's something that's going to take place, then that's up. If not, you guys can hang with us. And so I want us to think about one last meal as we're getting prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper. One last meal, and we'll be looking in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. You're looking at really verses 14 through 20. But I want us to think about one last meal. And so, if we will, let's reverence reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, if you'll stand to your feet. We'll be looking at 14 through 20 with the idea of one last meal. Word of God says, "When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood which is shed for you.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for a few minutes and leading up to a time that we will partake. I pray, God, that you will just be among us. Lord, we already sense your presence. We thank you for that. But I pray that we'll glean from your word and then we'll partake of your supper, your communion. And we'll do it in a worthy manner. And we thank you for the great privilege. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought about if you knew what meal was going to be your last meal? If you knew which that meal, what would you desire or what would you request as a last meal? I know it's customary as a prisoner that a life sentence, a death sentence, death row, and as they're getting ready to face execution, that's one of the customary things that they do. They ask them what would be their last meal, and I've studied on that. It's amazing some of the things that they ask for. Old John Coffey asked for some of the Mrs. Cornbread, didn't he? I couldn't help, I thought about that. But take it back the last on the Green Mile of John Coffey. I'm sorry, that's how my mind works. But last meals. What would you request as your last meal? When we, I want us to think about this moment that we're going to be studying in Luke and then partaking of the Lord's Supper, that this was Jesus' last meal on earth. This was the very last time that he would spend time with the people that he loved here on earth. It would be the last time that they would get together and have a meal together. And so how precious this time is and how much it meant. If you think about it, he would be executed like a criminal by the next evening, would he not? So I want us to think about the last meal, and I want us to understand some of the institutions. I want us to understand when we take of the bread and we take of the cup, and there were some questions come out in prayer room today, great questions, is why is unleavened bread? Some of the things, some questions that we might have, I hope that we can answer today before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so I want us to think about, I don't want it to ever be routine. If you notice, I don't ever just tack it on because I think it's so important, of such importance. We do it every fifth Sunday, so it's about once a quarter. And so it's a precious time for us to contemplate and think about the Lord's Supper. It's not a fictional thing. It's not make-believe. In fact, we know that it took place on Nisan 15th, that would be March or April. That's when the Passover meal was partaken of. It's in that springtime. We know that it was a great time of enthusiasm and tradition, that, man, there would be almost 1 million people that would make their way to Jerusalem. Think about the hustle and bustle. And listen, that you say, where would they stay? Well, they'd stay wherever they could. And guess what? Accommodations were free. Yeah, y'all like that. It's like, okay, if you were heading somewhere, you got free accommodations. It had to be. That was part of the tradition, that you put people up for free. And so can you imagine people trying to find a place to partake of the Lord's Supper or the Passover meal and try a place to stay at night? And so it's during this, all this enthusiasm and rich tradition, that we can think about this meal that Jesus took. There were 24 divisions of priests that would start getting ready early in the morning. for the sacrifice that would occur between 3 and 5 o'clock dealing with the Passover meal. Now listen, think about how many people that represented, how many lambs. 3 to 5, you're talking about just a short window of time that they had that they would sacrifice this lamb. It said that the Kidron Valley, which had a spring, a brook that run down through it, would run red with blood. And we'll come back to that and thinking about that. But this was a time that all these guys, the divisions of priests, they were ready. They were early in the morning. They were getting ready for a sacrifice. They would take that sacrificed lamb home with them and roast it. It'd be at least 10 people for each lamb, but that's still a whole lot. Lambs would be the top seller. When you came in, you would try to find the sacrificial lamb by it. But that they would take that lamb that had been sacrificed home to roast it as a meal, and before twilight in the evening time, they would gather around at a table. Most of the time, they dressed in white. It was this Passover, all these traditions that they had. They were remembering. What were they remembering? They were remembering in Egypt when they came out of Egypt and the Passover, when the death angel came, that last plague where he told Pharaoh that if he didn't let his people go, that every firstborn would be killed. And the only way that a house was spared was when they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And the death angel passed over. And so that's what they were celebrating. This was rich Jewish tradition. Every boy, girl, every little one understood what was going on. And so it was in the midst. This is that last meal that Jesus... There's not coincidences in that, by the way. And we'll tie that all together. It's not coincidence that he chose this time, this date, this moment. Now, I want you to know it's not fictional. It's a date that happened in history. You say, how do we know that? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing is we're going to see that when we partake of it today, October the 30th, 2016, we're still remembering it. We're still a part of that ongoing process. Many have come before us. Many have walked it, call themselves Christians, that have partaken of this same thing. So 2016 years later, we are still remembering it. And so that's how important. It's a historical date. It's not a Da Vinci painting, all plastic. Sometimes that's what we just get caught up in, the Last Supper. And we see it as something that's not real or fictional. It's not. It's a real date, a real time, a real Savior, and a real last meal. And so I want us to think about that as they sit down at the Passover meal, the host that was there would walk through each item that they served, and it had this rich tradition, this rich meaning, and that host was responsible for telling them what it meant. This is why we did this. This is why we ate these particular things, and we'll get in just a little bit. It's called the Seder. It's the name of the meal. It's something that the Jews, even today, partake of. It's one of the most common practices that they have, and so that each they had 4 cups in the Seder meal that we'll see Jesus is going to implement and change the whole thing. They had different herbs, different dips. Each thing represented something to do back to the Passover and coming out of Egypt and God delivering them. It's so they would never forget what God had done for them. So they'd never forget that the Passover, that the angel passed over them and God took care of them, delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And we'll see as we get into Luke 22, if you look at the beginning, verse 1, you see that day, it was now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew near. So we know that he's given us that date. He's showing us the things that are going on. He talks about in 18 through 13, just to set up the context of where we'll be preaching. He lists the preparations. Listen, he sends John and Peter, his two most... I'm going to take my jacket off. Let's get serious. He says, Peter and John, his two most dependable disciples, to go make preparation. And if you read that out, and we don't have time, but just read it out, he talks about where they would go into Jerusalem. They'll find a guy carrying a water jug, if you remember the story. And you say, why was that? Well, women mostly carried the water jug, so they knew how to mark him. He said, he'll tell you that the master has need of a place for the Passover. He'd lead them to it. And you say, why the covert thing? It's not that it was this supernatural thing so much as Jesus had made preparations. It was a covert thing that nobody else knew about. You say, why did he do that? Guess why? He knew Judas was trying his best. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew he was looking for a place to betray him. And so he's keeping it. He didn't want him to know where they were going to be and where they was gathered. So this would be, that's his last meal. He wants to spend it with the people that he loves without having to worry about these guys coming and finding him and arresting him. That would be a little later. He knew exactly where it was going to happen. So he plans it. And so he secures a place and he's getting ready to do. And I want us to think about a couple things as before we partake. First, look at, as we start in verse 14, Jesus' eagerness. Jesus' eagerness. And look what it says. When the hour had come, so all these preparations had taken place. The hour had come. They actually lounged on a couch. They lounged around. And you said, there was a purpose in that. It wasn't, oh, that's easy. It's not easy to lounge and eat, is it? You like to pull up. We like to pull up to a table where we use both hands, right? But they lounged and rested. Why? It was to show that they're no longer in bondage anymore. It was a relaxing thing to remember back. And so they're lounging, and he says, when the hour had come, he sat down and 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, listen to what he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Luke 14 reveals this critical hour that we're talking about. We see the heart of Jesus, too. We see his heart revealed in this last meal, in this last hour. And he's chosen to spend his last evening, his last meal, with those disciples that he had poured into, those that he had and he loved so dearly. And he makes his statement in verse 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's saying, I've had this intense longing for this hour. Jesus was God in the flesh. He knew before the evening of the next day he would be crucified. This was not a moment that he was dealing with thinking about the crucifixion. We see that in the garden. We see that the weight of the moment that was on him about the cup of the wrath of God being poured out upon him. And this was a moment that he had looked forward to because he knew it was a turning point in all history. A turning point in all history. And he says, I desired. It was a moment of eagerness. And he knew what it meant. And he knew that this whole meal, you know what it was doing? It was a revelation of the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. All those, listen, and I know when we think about the sacrifices and the lambs and all that, it's a bloody thing to think about. And we say, well, what's up with all that? It was showing the sin what we needed to be delivered of. The sin. And Hebrews tells us all the blood of bulls and goats, what? Wouldn't take away one sin. It was just for a picture. It was a moment pointing to this moment that was leading up to the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. So with eagerness, he's getting ready to partake of this last meal. And all that was going on in that meal was representing the Christ, that one Lamb that would come. And what a special moment. Getting ready to change in just a few minutes. It would be more, here's the deal, in just a few minutes, short minutes of that evening, he would change everything for all time. There's few moments. Think about it. There's few moments in this journey we call life that are eternal moments. Eternal moments, something that changes for eternity, all eternity. You say, well, I think about a couple, your salvation. Your salvation. And when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, new birth, that's an eternal moment. It changes for all eternity. You go from death to life, an eternal moment. This is an eternal moment when he's changing the Passover meal. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he's talking about that eager heart. But listen to what he says, verse 16. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. We're going to partake one of these days with Jesus. Think about that. One of these days we'll partake of this meal with Christ himself serving us, the scripture tells. I don't know about you, that's going to be a communion, ain't it? But until then, we're going to remember that. We're looking for that moment. We're anxious. If something was going to change, it's changing for all eternity. Jesus knew this would be the last time. But he said, I will partake of it again. I will partake of it again. It's the last time, but it's the opening of the ultimate time. There, and so he's getting ready, and he's looking forward to the eagerness of that moment. And this group around him that are believers, and he knew that they would join them in the future. He knew that we would be, listen, this is our Savior. He knew we'd be sitting here October 30th, downtown Todd, getting ready to partake. He knew that. And so this is anticipation of something that would go on until a perpetualness, until Christ returns, or we go to be with Him. That's the magnet. And so he looked forward to the changing and the eagerness of this moment. But not only the eagerness, look at Jesus' institution. Look at verses 17 and 20. And so we've reached the culmination of this moment, and he's getting ready to serve. Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks and said, "This is the cup, and divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He said, this is this moment. He's letting them know, this is it. I'll not partake of this again until you're with me in the kingdom. And he goes on and he said, and he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke and he gave it to them. "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, again, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you." Luke, unlike the other gospel, he lists two cups there. There were actually four cups in the Seder. And so it's showing that he's changing his tradition. He's changing this meal. He's changing this process that they had. And so we see a cup, a bread, and cup in Luke's gospel. And so Jesus is breaking from the tradition. He's breaking from the commandment of the Old Testament in the Passover meal, and he's implementing a new one. He's changing the institution. He reminds them of the magnitude of the moment, but also of an expectation in the future. He changes the meaning of the elements, verse 19. What does he say? "This is my body." We'll say, well, what did it represent before? Well, here's the deal. The bread and unleavened, had a question. Why do we eat unleavened bread? Why is it those little wafers? Why ain't it a big old, roll of bread and all that? And some people do the loaves, but why is it unleavened bread? Here's the deal. In the Passover meal, God told them before they come out of Egypt, he said, make bread, but don't put any leaven in it. He said, why? You're not going to have time for it to rise. In other words, you put your sandals on, get your staff in your hand, and you eat this meal because you're leaving here. And so they didn't have time. And so it was the bread of affliction of Egypt, of the bondage that they had been under, to remind them. Well, Jesus is saying, listen, it's no longer to be remind you of the affliction of Egypt, but the affliction that I'm going to take for you. And that's why we use the unleavened bread. It represents the body of Jesus, the affliction. Here's the deal. He changes the whole institution of the meal at this moment. And I want you to say, and then he makes his statement, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's the reason we do it. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a conscious memorial of what he has done. You say, why? Because we're in constant danger of forgetting. Let's be honest. We forget very easily if we don't. We forget the magnitude of what Christ has done for our lives. You say, how do you know that, Brother David? Well, let's just look at how I go to whining and complaining about the least little old thing. I forget about the magnitude of being a child of God and being saved by His blood. And I let the world troubles, I let everything in the world influence me, and if I'm not careful, I forget. This is a way of me remembering of what Christ has done for us. It's an emblem of the affliction of God when we take of the bread. And then he says the cup in verse 20. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Listen, think about the millions of lambs that have been slaughtered in the past. And the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of lambs that were being slaughtered that evening, just finished up being slaughtered. You know what it would be? It would be replaced by one lamb for all time, for one time. Why did they use that? Why did he use that representation? To show us a couple things. And remember this, the seriousness of sin. We are to remember the seriousness of sin. It cost everything. It cost our Savior His life. The seriousness of sin in our life, we need to remember that. And the second thing is that sin brings death. Sin brings death. All that blood, all that shed, those animals, it was the point to let you know the seriousness of sin. But there would be one lamb that was slaughtered by the next evening that would cover all sins for all time and would bring us, deliver us from death to life. Serious enough. And he mentions the new covenant. Now, that new covenant. And as soon as you hear that, I think about Jeremiah. I can't help but think of Jeremiah 31:31. Hundreds of years before Christ is even on the scene, Jeremiah prophesies about a new covenant that would no longer be external, but it would be internal. And he talked about giving them a new heart. Hello. When Christ comes in and we receive His shed blood as our atonement for sin, He creates in us a new heart. And that new covenant He's speaking about, Jesus said, man, this is all coming. This is the culmination of what's getting ready to happen. A new covenant will begin. We would need spiritual transformation. That's what we needed. We needed a new heart. We didn't need to just go through the routines, but we needed a new heart. We are to believe and remember one last meal, but only on earth, soon to be taken in heaven. I want us to think about that meal and one last meal. And as we're getting ready to partake of the elements, the Scripture tells us, and we're getting ready to, I want you to listen, 1 Corinthians as we over in 11. It talks about examining ourselves. This is very important. Examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper. This is, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's serious, isn't it? But he said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then he makes this statement, listen, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. How important it is us, the Scripture tells us, not to take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about unconfessed sin. I'm talking about sin in your life. I'm talking about knowing that you've never received Christ. Don't take of this. Why? Because it comes with consequences. Don't go through a routine. Don't care about what somebody's thinking about you beside it. Do not take of this cup. If there's sin in your life or you've never been saved, why? We heard read the consequences. Many are sick and many die. That's important. So I want us to take out just a moment. And as we're making our deacons, we need to be making our way forward here. I want us to get quiet before the Lord. I want you to shut your eyes and bow your head. I want you to think about, if you need to confess any sins, to do it now. This is the time to do it before the Lord. In that quietness, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you of anything that you might take. It's so serious to me, I'll say, Lord, if there's something I don't even know about, please, Lord, remove it from my life. I don't want to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of anything. And then we'll partake and remember and rest in what He's done. Just a minute of quietness. Let's partake. given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper.
saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that there's moments that if you look even in your last meal and you look down through time and you knew that we would be here October 30th, 2016, partaking of this meal and remembering what you had done for us. It's with great thanks that we come. Praise you. Thank you so much for being willing to take the wrath of God on the cross of Christ for my sin. Thank you. And Lord, I pray that this motivates us as we walk out of here to remember and keep remembering what you have done for us. Do this in remembrance of me, you said. Help it not to just be a thing that we do on Sunday, but a life of communion that's lived 24/7, 365 days because of what the gospel has done for our life. So, Lord, if I pray for somebody here that maybe doesn't know you as personal Savior, that God, that maybe through this that you reveal to them, I pray that they just receive you as personal Savior, Lord, right now. They just ask you to save them. And thank you. And live a life that's wholly given over to you. Maybe somebody that you've revealed sin in their life, that they just say, you know what, it's not worth it, Lord. Keep me from it from now on. But help us to live as we walk outside these doors. As it says over the doors we go out, we're entering our mission field, that we keep that before us all the time. And we remember what you've done for us. God, help it to motivate us to live differently and to show the love of Christ to this world that so desperately needs it. Thank you so much for these good people. Lord, I ask you just to bless each and every one of them and use them mightily. Thank you for what you're doing here at this church. Continue to do a work, and we'll give you the glory for it all because we ask it in Christ's name.